Chapter 17. Leaves left and I flopped back on my bed and stared at the stucco. At least our synchronized skating routine was giving me something other than the sinus minus to think about. We ate lunch with the girls almost every day now. We won our game against the Chiefs midweek and everything was falling into place, or so I thought, until Justin reminded me that they were out of the stuff. I'm not sure I can get any more before the weekend, I stammered, looking at Ryan. What do you mean? We're playing the old-timers. I know, I began. We won't need it anyway, added Ryan. We're not even half their age. We can smoke 'em without it. That's Phil Kiefler, amongst others, what you're talking about, said Scott. What about the stuff, Joel? Asked Adrian. I can't get it before the weekend. I'm out. The guy swore. You won't even notice you don't have it, said Ryan. Not at a game like this. Hey, began Theo slowly, didn't you play without it one day, Switzen? Yes, I said truthfully. And you said it would last long enough to get you through an extra game. Yeah, that's right, added Pete. We'll still have enough stuff in our systems from last time's game. We'll be okay. I sighed. They'd be okay, but what about me and my predicament? What about the game against the Cadillacs on Monday? The girls were already in their dressing room when we arrived and found Coach Knowles. Pretty exciting, eh, boys? Grinned Coach Knowles. Playing these guys is going to be different than anything you've ever done before. We unzipped our bags and made a pretense of sifting through our equipment. Now you know there's no body checking, he smiled. I think that's more for their protection than yours, so you're going to have to be content to stick check and tie them up along the boards. The big thing, though, is your skating. You've got to skate hard and make them go with you, because you're never going to outmaneuver them. We looked up as the figure skating performance was announced. The knock on the door came right on cue. I've got to step out for some newspaper interview, Knowles told us. Hurry up and get changed. We don't have all day. As soon as he was gone, we counted to 20, then raced into the dressing room number 4. I'd managed to catch a glimpse of the girls waiting to go onto the ice. They looked great, all decked out in Japanese kimonos with their fans and makeup. Hurry up, hissed Lise as she closed the door behind us. All right, ladies, sang out Neil. Into your costumes and don't forget these lovely fishing nets we're supposed to put on. The costumes were all laid out with the fishnet stockings on top. We stripped down and shoved our feet into the stockings. Ouch, these things kill, complained Red. Oh, no, moaned Jordy. I've got a snag. I was still fighting with my second leg when Ryan started jumping up and down beside me. How do you get these things pulled up? He asked. The crotch was almost level with his knees. From the ankle first, advised Jared, who had 3 sisters. Ryan and I managed to get them on about the same time and dove for our costumes. Remember to wear them backwards. We want to see the cleavage, instructed Dave. This is insane, absolutely insane, groaned Carl as he pulled on his skates. Neil slapped him on the back just as the synchronized skating team was announced. Oh no, they're already on for their first number and we still have makeup to do. We jammed our feather combs into our hair and grabbed our cosmetics bags. Lise had hung mirrors on the wall, but trying to see anything with 6 guys crowding around was impossible. Lise knocked on the door. 2-minute warning, she called. The girl's second number started as we plastered our faces with foundation, brushed mascara onto our eyelashes, and applied the eyeshadow. How do I look? Asked Ryan. I grinned at him. You look great. He really did look great. All the guys looked great. Around the room, the guys surveyed each other. Lise knocked again. Let's go knock 'em dead, said Neil. We filed out of the room as the girls' music ended and had just lined up behind the black curtain when they appeared out of breath. Valerie giggled. You made it. How do I look? She had a quick look. Fantastic. Then she frowned. Did you put lipstick on? My hand darted to my lips. Oh no, I knew I forgot something. The guys were starting out onto the ice and I could hear the laughter of the crowd. Never mind, she said. I'll fix that. And she pressed her lips against mine. Good luck, she whispered while the guys pulled me along. I was still reeling from the touch of Valerie's lips on mine as I skated onto the ice, but the roar of the crowd pulled me back into the arena. I searched the stands for Dad and Lee's, but all I could see was a blur of laughing faces. We really were quite a sight. Get moving, muttered Carl behind me, and I looked up to see the other guys skating daintily across the ice behind Neil. We skated into position and picked up the hems of our skirts. That was the cue for the woman who was manning the music machine. From behind the glass, the girls cheered us on. I glanced nervously at Ryan as the first 2 bars of music played and a hush fell over the crowd. Could we possibly pull this off? The first few line maneuvers were simple ones in groups of 4, and the crowd was more than generous with their applause. The whole building sounded like it was going to come down for the first time we lifted our skirts and tossed our feathers. By the time we got through our footwork sequences and into our block formations, the crowd was clapping so hard we could hardly hear the music. The V intersection went smoothly, our feathers just brushing each other's shoulders. We were really getting into it, dipping our feathers, wiggling our hips, and trying to look seductive when we were supposed to. We looped into our concentric circles, and again the crowd went wild. We were winding up now into the most difficult part, the rotating wheel move, and the music was really picking up. I grabbed onto Theo's shoulders and started the wheel formation while the group on the outer edge of the circle skated into place. Then we were there, all of us in a three-spoke wheel. All that was left was the big finale, a series of cross rolls and twizzles before we did our fancy wiggle-waggle and spin. Dave caught my skate on a crossover, but I managed to stay upright, and then we were spinning, our skirts flying high above our shoulders. We dug our blades into the ice as the music stopped and lifted our arms in the finishing position. The crowd jumped to its feet and screamed. And in typical hockey fashion, we jumped all over each other, our skirts flying, our voices laughing with utter elation. It took us about 10 minutes to clear the ice, having to take at least 5 or 6 bows, but when we did, the response from the girls was even better. "You guys were awesome!" exclaimed Valerie, leaping into my arms. I hugged her close and then leaned back and kissed her, once on the lips and then on the lips again. All around us, the guys and girls embraced, celebrating an incredible feat. The Falcons had just pulled off a synchronized skating number. "Could I have your attention, please? Your attention, please." The master of ceremonies was on the ice introducing the novice pairs. We made our way to the dressing room. Knowles joined us a few minutes later, shaking his head and laughing. "I never would have believed it if I hadn't seen it," he said. "Maybe you guys are in the wrong sport." Someone threw a hockey glove at him and we squeezed out of our dresses and stockings. "You're supposed to leave your dresses on the hooks. One of the mothers will collect them later." He paused and grinned. "That is, of course, assuming we're still going to play, ladies." He left the room. We changed into our hockey gear. The Zamboni would be out to clean the ice following the figure skater, so we had a few minutes. Getting our costumes off was easy enough, but the makeup was a little tougher. "Can you imagine having to wear this stuff all the time?" asked Pete, scrubbing his face. "Not," retorted Jordy. "It feels like plaster." By the time Knowles came back, we were all in our uniforms and lacing up skates. He launched into the game strategy and filled us in on our opponents. Phil Kiefler had put together quite the team, with 4 ex-NHLers and a lot of old junior players. We were going to have to outskate them if we were going to generate any offense. "Whatever you do, don't try to get fancy. These guys have moves that most of us can only dream of," said Knowles. Someone knocked on the door and we filed out. The black curtain had been removed and the crowd was just returning to their seats. "Ryan," called Knowles from behind us. Ryan stepped back into the corridor and I heard him gasp. He grabbed his mother's hands and looked proudly at his dad, who stood behind her. Mrs. Davis looked happier than I'd seen her for a very long time. "She really enjoyed your last number," said Ryan's dad. "We both did." "Why didn't you tell me Mom was coming?" Ryan beamed at his dad. "I wasn't positive. I didn't want you to be disappointed if she didn't make it." Ryan squeezed his mom's hands. "We've got to go," he said, looking over his shoulder at me. His mom smiled, and although I couldn't explain it, my heart soared. I punched Ryan on the arm and tore out onto the ice. Maybe it was the fact that his mother was here for the very first time in a very long time. Or maybe it was the excitement of just having pulled off a synchronized skating number and received one incredible embrace from Taryn. Whatever it was, Ryan was flying from the word go. He tore around the rink in warm-up, blasted shots past Jordy, and urged us on like we were playing an overtime period, and the game hadn't even started yet. But his enthusiasm was infectious, and by the time we got to the bench, we were pumped. Knowles took one look at the lot of us and grinned. "I don't think you boys need a pep talk," he said. "Let's go." Our line was out first with Ryan centering against Phil Kiefler. They smirked at each other from behind their cages. Phil won the faceoff without even looking down, and the game was on. Knowles had been right. They had moves that we could only dream of, and twice I got left standing, watching my man break for the net. One of those cost us a goal by Hap Hansen, only 3 minutes into the period. The crowd clapped appreciatively, but I got the sense that they were really cheering for us. The girls certainly were. "Don't worry about that goal, guys," said Knowles encouragingly. "They're going to be strong for the first time until the conditioning factor sets in. Make them skate with you." That's what Red had intended to do, but getting past Frank Butler's stick was something else. "One little jab and it's gone," complained Red on the bench. "The guy's probably 20 kilograms overweight now, but he doesn't even have to move to take the puck away." Ryan motioned me forwards towards the faceoff circle. We were in their zone, and I knew that he was thinking we might be able to get a quick shot away. I leaned into the opposing forward, and Ryan, quick with his stick, managed to pull the puck away from Eric Donovan. I one-timed it, letting it rip. The puck rang off the goalpost. A terrific escaped from the crowd, and then a tremendous roar. I looked up to see the light on and Ryan's fist in the air. He had put the rebound in. Ryan was on me before I could even stand up, and the game was tied 1-1. The noise was deafening. The referee finally made a special request for quiet and dropped the puck.
Phil was out and again he won the faceoff, but the play was whistled down on the offside right away and Phil and Ryan faced off again. "Your head," Phil whispered as he squared off opposite Ryan. "Don't forget your head." I saw Ryan glance up and then, still staring at Phil, take the faceoff. This time he was much closer, forcing Phil to draw twice to clear the puck. We did a better job of making them skate, and the play went end-to-end for about 3 minutes before we got the whistle. "Nice job, guys," said Knowles. "Force them to skate like that for two periods, and I guarantee you they won't have legs left in the third." We watched as Red's line got a shot on net, but their goalie was quick with his glove hand. "Who's in goal?" Theo wanted to know. "Walter Matthews. Used to play junior hockey," Knowles said. "He's good, but nothing extraordinary. Keep shooting. Something will go in eventually." But nothing else got past Matthews in the first period. He looked solid, but then again, so did Jordy, and we filed out with a 1-1 tie. "Our opportunities are going to come in the third period as they tire," Knowles insisted on his way out of the dressing room. "Just keep it simple for a while and bide your time. If we get out of this next period with a tie, you can consider yourselves to be in a good position." We gulped mouthfuls of Gatorade. "That's what he thinks," muttered Pete. "I promised Jolene at least one goal lead going into those final 5 minutes." "Simone wants a minimum of two," said Neil. "That's a big order," murmured Jared, "especially without the stuff." I cringed at James's voice. "I thought it was good for a couple extra days," muttered Pete. "Never mind that," advised Ryan. "Let's just get out there and show these old men what we can do." "I second that," I said, glad to have the subject changed. "No grandfathers are going to show us up." Neil banged a stick on the dressing room floor and the rest of the guys joined in. When the knock on the door came, we were ready to go. And go we did. Jared managed a quick shot from the slot, but it wasn't enough to get by Matthews. Back came the old-timers, but Tony intercepted a pass at center ice and went in with Red on his wing. Red blasted one, but it was just wide. We changed on the fly, with Ryan, Justin, and I jumping the boards and turning on the wheels. Knowles had told us that we were going to have to outskate them, and that's what we were intending to do. It was working, too. After a while, some of them fell back a little and relied on their sticks more, but not Phil Kiefler. Halfway through the period, Phil decked Ryan and sent a beautiful shot over Adrian's stick into the upper right-hand corner. 2-1 old-timers. Ryan was already on the bench when I arrived. "Tough break," I panted. "I should have seen it coming," said Ryan. A cry went up from the crowd, and I looked up to see Dave trying to stuff the puck under Matthew's pads. "We're getting the chances, boys," Knowles told the bench. "Just keep the pressure on and something will go in." For the next 10 minutes, we did just that. We could tell that they were tiring, but although most of the play was in their end, we couldn't turn that light on. "Geez," I complained to Neil on the bench, "every time you think you've got a clear shot, some yellow jersey shows up." "I know. I've had 2 shots deflected out there." Noel slapped our shoulders. "It just takes one, boys. It just takes one." Our line went on with 1:20 left in the period. Ryan won the draw and sent it in my direction. I shot it through the winger's left feet and caught Ryan, who was driving hard to the net. But the puck skipped and rose off the ice. Ryan thrust his stick out in front of his body and deflected the puck. Matthews had been screened and didn't even know it was in. The crowd let him in on the secret. 2-2. "Not quite the way I'd imagined it," Ryan muttered as we clambered back onto the bench. "Who cares?" said Red. "We'll take it." "You bet we will," I exclaimed. "It's about time we had a little bit of luck." "Let's hope it lasts," murmured Scott as Hap Hansen let one go and Blaine Peterson moved in for the rebound. Jordy managed to bury the second one and we all breathed easier. The referee dropped the puck as the buzzer sounded to the end of the second period. Knowles was ecstatic. "Great hockey, great skating, great passing." He clapped his hands. "You guys are in a great spot going into this period. Already, they're starting to slow down. By the end of third, they're going to be dragging all your young legs are going to be skating circles around them." Jordy swallowed a mouthful of Gatorade. "Don't give them the blue line. Once I get a bunch of bodies in front of the net, it's tough to see." The rap on the door came earlier than expected, and we filed out for the third and final period. The crowd was really getting into this game, and I'd never heard such an ovation as we stepped onto the ice. I caught a glimpse of Dad hollering. Lise was having a quick word with the referee, and I could imagine how nervous she must be with this whole weekend depending on the fire alarm. The ref nodded and grinned. I figured everything was a go for the last 5 minutes, but the girls were counting on us to give them a lead going into those final five. They roared as we skated past their section and headed for our player's box. "Skate, skate, skate," instructed Knowles. "This is when you'll see the age-use thing really become a factor." Ryan lost the first face-off against Phil Kiefler, but we fought back. Adrian intercepted a pass and took it into the old-timer's end, but he couldn't get a shot away. They were tiring, but they were still solid on their defense and good with their sticks. And they were obviously trying to slow the game down, passing more often in their own zone, looping around in the neutral zone and blasting it into corners unless they had a walk-in shot. We weren't used to that style of hockey, and it showed. Knowles called a timeout 6 minutes into the period. "You're playing right into their hands," he explained. "You've slowed the game down to their speed. Go after them, badger them when they try to pass, and keep your sticks out in case you get that interception. Make them play your game. Don't play theirs." His words rang in my ears as I watched Neil, Dave, and Pete skate out for the faceoff. But it wasn't so easy. Their passes rang true, and it was hard to get a steal. "We can't play cat and mouse out there," Ryan said as we waited for the changeup. He glanced at the empty stands where the girls had been sitting. "We don't have time." It was true. The girls were, right now, getting changed, listening for the thunder of the crowd to indicate that we'd scored. Ryan was right. We had to do something now. And we did. Our next shift, Ryan managed a hard wrist shot. A loud gasp went up from the fans. Matthews was down, but the light wasn't on and the puck was nowhere in sight. The referee whistled the play dead, and slowly Matthews shook himself out. No puck. The defenseman poked Matthews' old skates. The puck had lodged between the blade and the sole of the skate. I couldn't believe our bad luck. Our bad luck was their good luck. Phil Kiefler's line came out sailing. Ryan and I watched from the bench as Jordy stopped two quick shots, but Theo and James were having trouble clearing the puck. James sent the puck rolling around the boards, and their defenseman managed to keep it in. He faked the pass and let go a shot that found the top left-hand corner. 3-2, old-timers. 5 minutes and 22 seconds left. I looked desperately at Ryan. It was going to take a miracle to give the girls even a tie to work with. Miracles don't happen in 22 seconds, but well-laid plans do. Before the ref could drop the puck, a uniformed cop approached him. The ref promptly skated across the rink to talk to Knowles. "It appears that your vehicle is parked in a handicapped parking zone, coach. The officer here would like a word with you." "A handicap zone?" Knowles puttered. "I didn't park anywhere near one. I'm in the middle of the second row." The referee shrugged. "He seems pretty determined. You might want to speak with him so he doesn't have your car towed." Knowles swore quietly under his breath. "Can't he wait a few minutes?" he asked, gesturing towards the clock. At that precise moment, Turnbull shuffled around the arena to the bench. "Everything okay here?" he asked. I glanced around the rink looking for Lise, but I couldn't spot her. So far, so good, except we were supposed to be out in front by now. Some crap about me parking in a wheelchair zone. I've got to go talk to the man in blue over there. Think you could take over for a few minutes? Sure, said Turnbull, but make it quick, eh? You're not leaving me in a good spot here. Knowles swore again and half slid across the ice beside the referee. We could see him speaking to the officer, obviously pleading his case, but the officer wasn't having any part of it. Our minds weren't really on the game, but we managed to hang in there for 22 seconds until the fire alarm blasted. In moments, the intercom was directing people to the emergency exits, and Turnbull was hustling us to the dressing room where the girls were waiting.